Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you out here on this snowy, freezing cold day. I checked the weather as soon as I woke up, and it said -6. Oh, that's brisk. My body was here in Colorado, but my mind was in Hawaii, I think, wishing it was a little bit warmer. By the way, I forgot to mention that it's an extra special day, not only because Aaron was baptized, because it's his birthday today as well, which makes it extra special. So that's another reason why today is extra, extra special. So happy double birthday to you. All right. I think this is the coldest Sabbath I can ever remember. I was shoveling this morning. It was ridiculously cold. This holiday season, we've been looking at the first coming of Jesus, and we looked last week at the wise men who came to visit Jesus, but they were not the first visitors to visit Jesus. The first visitors that came were not quite as polished as the wise men were. Have you ever gone to visit a brand new baby? Maybe a friend of yours had a baby, and you go and visit, and you see the little baby for the first time. I get to do that a fair amount, being a pastor. I'll go and visit babies when they're born in the hospital and things, and it's a lot of fun. And I think that seeing a brand new baby is one of the most special things ever. Parents, maybe go back on a little trip down memory lane to your first baby and what that was like. I can remember being a little bit nervous because I was just afraid I was going to break something. Here is little Callie Michelle. She's, I don't know, a couple hours old here. But I can remember seeing our new, brand new little baby and just looking at her and thinking, man, I hope I don't mess something up. I hope, and you know, you have to put those onesies on. If you've never put a onesie on, it's pretty complicated. After a while, you kind of get used to it, and you're like, all right, arm, leg, all right, we got it, do it. And there's some complicated onesies as well that have, like, ties on the side. Those are a little out of my league. The plain onesie I could do. But even then, I can remember her little arm was just fragile. A newborn is just such a fragile little thing, and you look at their eyes, and they're kind of looking around and checking out the world. And hanging out with a newborn baby is one of the coolest visits you can ever do, in my opinion. It's just a miracle when you look at a little baby, and you see how they can see and they hear, and they got fingers and toes and things, and some babies are born bald, some babies are born with a full head of hair, they need a haircut right as soon as they're born. But it's just fantastic to see a brand new little baby. And God invites a very unique group of people to be the first visitors to see Jesus. And we're going to look at that a little bit today in the Bible in Luke chapter 2. They were not the fancy, high-esteemed visitors that he got a little bit later on in life. Who were these first visitors? Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And it's sometimes hard to picture Jesus as a baby. Because in any other context outside of Christmas, if I say the name Jesus, you more than likely picture in your mind a grown man with a beard, maybe a robe with some sort of a sash around it to keep the robe on, like a belt sort of style thing. We usually don't, unless it's Christmas, picture Jesus being a tiny little baby. We don't really picture Jesus near an adult where they put their pinky down there to see if the baby Jesus will reach up and grasp the pinky. Anybody ever done that with a baby? It's really fun to do. You put your pinky down there and the baby's like, and got it. Every time. We don't really picture Jesus as being like this. So who were these first visitors to visit baby Jesus? Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. And it says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Where did these guys live? Was there a home out in the fields? It's not what the Bible says. They lived in the fields. Maybe tents, maybe not. They didn't live in the nice heated cities where there were fireplaces and things that had a warm bed to go to at night. These shepherds were professional campers. They camped all the time. And what an honor they had on the evening we're about to study. It's always fun visiting newborns, can you imagine visiting this newborn? Can you imagine walking into a little barn, realizing who you're about to see, realizing what a difference this makes for the world? Now, the shepherds had an interesting life. They lived out in the fields. These are the same fields that David tended his sheep in. But their work kept them ceremonially unclean. Do you know that? They couldn't go in and participate in temple services. Really, they couldn't go into town very much because they were ceremonially unclean. And in order for them to be ceremonially clean, they had to take like a 7-day break from work, a whole week off from work, in order to be ceremonially clean, which none of them could take a week off of work. So these guys were kind of social outcasts, nobody would shake their hand, you couldn't touch them because then you might be unclean as well. Not the best smelling probably, or the most cultured. The priests shunned the shepherds, but really the priests needed these shepherds as well because they provided the necessary sheep for sacrifices for the temple. So it was kind of a, we don't really want to acknowledge you exist, but we need you to sell us some sheep so that we can get money, and they ate off of those sheep as well. And so it's this really weird relationship between these shepherds and the priests. They were kind of outcasts, couldn't come in the city really because they're unclean, but very necessary to the culture that was there. One thing about shepherds, though, the study of shepherds is kind of interesting in the Bible. They value their sheep a lot. I was just reading, in fact, this was in the news, and in the news there's a lot of stories about people crossing borders, refugees, et cetera, over on the other side of the planet. And there was a guy coming, I think he was crossing the border from Iraq and somewhere else, and he had 12 sheep with him. This is like 2 months ago. He had 12 sheep with him. And as he came to the border crossing, they're like, hey, you can come, but you got to leave your sheep over there. You can't bring your sheep across. And the guy was like, I have to bring my sheep. I can't leave my sheep here. And they're like, well, no, you have to leave your sheep. Only you can come across the border. And this is what caught my attention on this article. He says, I can't leave my sheep. My sheep are my life. They're everything to me. And you're like, sheep? To us, you may have pets, but if it was your life or your pet's probably going. This guy was very interesting. He wouldn't cross that border without his sheep. Wouldn't do it. His life was so tied up in those sheep that he could not just let them wander off and have something happen to him. It was 2 months ago. Shepherds have a thing with their sheep. There's this responsibility that goes along with them. And we see in the Bible that a shepherd will even lay down his life for one of his sheep. In these same hills, hundreds of years earlier, David had his sheep in those hills, didn't he? And he literally put his life on the line to protect his sheep. Now, we've read in the Bible about David. He says, I've taken bears and lions. This Philistine is nothing for me. Remember David saying that? Well, here they are. This is the kind of thing that he's encountering out in these fields. Bears. Anybody ever seen a bear out in the wild before? Did you get closer to it or farther away from it? Probably backed off, especially if they were cubs. You want to give them plenty of space. And David said in these same hills where these shepherds are at in this story, David said that bears like this one, this is a European brown bear, bears like this one would come and try and steal his sheep at night. And David, by himself, out in the fields, would not let one sheep be taken by this predator. He would jump up, get his sling, and he would fight off a bear just like this one to save his sheep. He would also come across lions like this in these same hills where the shepherds in our story today are camped out watching their sheep. We don't often think about lions like this in the Jerusalem area, but they used to be all over the place there. They're no longer there. They're just on the African continent now, but these type of lions used to be up right over there in the Israel and Jerusalem area. We see a lot in Persia, Iraq, Iran as well. One of the biggest things that they used to do for the kings would go on lion hunts. And there's lots of reliefs built into some of the temple walls in that area where it shows these kings and everybody going on these big lion hunts. And you remember the story of Daniel in the lion's den. It wasn't that hard to get the lions back then because lions like this one roamed around the hills where David watched his sheep. And David, being the shepherd, took such good care of his sheep that he would face off with one of these in the wild by himself to save one of his sheep. Those sheep were so valuable to him that he would stand in the way of what we would look at as certain death, lay his life down and fight for that one sheep. These lions are terrifying. I saw a couple of these in Africa when I was there, and just the roar of one of these lions would have me running the opposite direction. I'd be like, you can have the sheep. I choose life. I was on a safari, and one of these things, the guy said, now these might bluff charge our Jeep, but don't worry, and please don't scream, because that'll encourage them. I was like, don't scream, are you kidding me? And sure enough, one of these things, a male just like this one, bluff charged and roared, and it was about about half the distance from me to the back door there. And he roared, and the driver guy doesn't have a gun. He's got the engine off. I'm like, man, are you kidding me? What kind of safari is this? At least have a gun or have the engine on so we can book it if we need to. But no, they pull right up to these lions, kill the engine, and they're like, it might bluff charge, but don't worry. How do they know? It's the most terrifying sound I've ever heard. And yet David would stand up to one of these lions who is taking one of his sheep and face death in order to rescue something that was so precious to him. This is what Jesus does. This is exactly what Jesus does. He will not let one of us go without standing up and fighting for us. No matter how dangerous or how bad it is, Jesus is willing to jump in the mix to try and save us, just like these shepherds would do the same for their sheep. So on this night that we're looking at here in Luke chapter 2, it's a colder night, and I picture in my imagination, we'll go back to my fun, I like this picture. Sometimes life is just fun if you have cartoons involved in it. I picture back in my mind these shepherds out in the hills. It's a little bit cold. Maybe they're huddled around a fire. And like most people passing time, they're talking. What are they talking about? In the book on Jesus' life called Desire of Ages on page 47, it says, through the silent hours, they talked together of the promised Savior. They prayed for the coming of the King to David's throne. Lots of people at this time had read through the scriptures, knew that it was time for the Messiah to come because of Daniel's prophecy. They'd studied all these different things, and they were expectant. They were looking forward to the Messiah coming, and that was part of the conversation. I wonder if he's coming soon. When is he going to be here? How is it going to change things? And it's really neat to see what they were talking about, because in the Bible, in Psalm 112, verse 4, it says, to those who are seeking for light and who accept it with gladness, the bright rays from the throne of God will shine. To those who are seeking for light, these shepherds, I think, were seeking for light. They were expectant. They were looking forward to Jesus coming. And when we study the same thing, when we are expectant, when we are seeking for the light in the Bible, I believe this promise is good for me and you as well. When we open our Bibles, when we have worship, when we study, it says, the bright rays from the throne of God will shine on you. That is a cool promise for when we open our Bibles and study. God will bless us with light and understanding if we are seeking for that light. So let's keep reading. Verse 9. It says, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Every single time we see the angels show up, everybody gets afraid. Unexpected, maybe the glory of heaven is a little overwhelming, but everybody seems to panic when the good guys show up. And here again, we see the same thing. It's a little overwhelming. It says they were greatly afraid. And verse 10 says, the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you in this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. The very things they had just been talking about, these angels come up and affirm and share that there is good news coming right now. There has already been born the Savior, and you're close by. And I love how that when the angels have really good news, they can't help but burst out into song. I think singing is one of the most fun things to do. And there's music that's kind of depressing that you can listen to, but there's also music that's very upbeat and positive that puts you in a good mood, right? And I think that the music of heaven has got to be the most uplifting music humans have ever heard. And these shepherds get one of the biggest treats. It says in verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. What must that have been like? I love good singing. And can you imagine these shepherds just sitting out there, and there's one angel, and he's there, and he tells them news about what they've just been talking about, and all of a sudden, a bunch of other angels are revealed to them. And I always wonder, how many angels were there? There had to have been, because this is of the utmost interest of all of heaven. There's nobody in heaven who's like, oh, Jesus is being born? Man, I got stuff to do. I'll be down in a little while. Save me a spot so I can see. There is not a single angel in heaven, I don't think, that is saying anything like that. I would guess that heaven empties out, and that every angel that's created is right around Jerusalem. And that this angel choir is absolutely amazing. Now, I enjoy choirs and singing, and I came across a song this week that was very, very inspiring that kind of goes along with this. And it's a song, I think we've sung it in the last couple of weeks, called Joy to the World. But I heard the Air Force Reserve Band and the Mormon Tabernacle Choir sing and play this. And I tried to get them to come here today, but the snow was too much, and so they weren't able to make it. So I really, as part of us imagining what this was like, what the singing must have sounded like, I wanted to play for you today these two groups playing Joy to the World together, because it is absolutely awesome. I may or may not have come in here during the week when no one was here and cranked this on our really good speakers, because we have a really good sound system in here, and it may or may not have sounded really, really awesome. We won't play it that loud today, but I want you to just hear, and as you listen to the music, I want you to just imagine in your mind that you're out on this hill. You've just been talking about Jesus coming. This angel shows up and blows your mind, and all of a sudden an angel choir shows up and sings something like this. Not bad, huh? I love the way they end that with a different verse because it's so hopeful and points forward. The last verse, I don't know if you caught that, it said, and then we'll worship God. And it points to Jesus' second coming as well. And I have to imagine in my mind, that's some of the best singing I've heard, that maybe this song that they heard out in the fields that night sounded something like that. And what a treat for those shepherds who were out there. Verse 15, it says, so it was when the angels had gone away from them unto heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told to them. You know, there's one verse in here that I really, really like. And it's verse 17. And it says, now when they had seen him, Jesus, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. These right here are some of the very first evangelists. Because they don't go there, they don't have this big angel experience, go there, see Jesus, and be like, man, that was awesome. Let's go back out to the field and get some sleep. They don't hold this message of hope to themselves. It says they spread it widely. This story of the angels coming, this story of baby Jesus, went like wildfire. And I have to wonder in my mind if, as this story goes, people were like, well, hey, we better go to Bethlehem and see this kid. You wonder if any other visitors came that aren't mentioned here in the scriptures. With all of this happening, you think there would be some curious people. The priests sure weren't interested. Nobody actually was interested in going and visiting and seeing this from that group of people. But I wonder if there were maybe other shepherds. Or if there were other people living there in the vicinity that heard this that said, we really want to see this. There's angels involved. The time is right. The angel said this was the Savior. If you were there, wouldn't you want to go and see this baby? Wouldn't you be curious and want to go and see? But I think these shepherds, these uneducated, slightly stinky probably, ceremonially unclean shepherds can give us a very good example today on this snowy day in 2016. Because they remind us of what our job is as well as people who follow Jesus. And that is to make widely known the sayings of Jesus as told to us. That is part of our job as those who are seeking Jesus. Well, you may say, well, you know, we've heard a lot about this over the last few years. There's other people who may be better at that than me. Maybe you've heard people say, well, maybe give your testimony. And you say, well, I don't know what my testimony is. I don't know how to give my testimony. There's a really cool quote. It's one of my favorite quotes. And the author says this, let me see if I can say it right. If you have had an experience with Jesus, you have a story to tell. Your story doesn't have to be from gangs and drugs to Jesus to count. Your story doesn't have to be made into a book or a movie to have some sort of dramatic effect for it to count. If you have felt the love of Jesus, your story can change people's lives. If you have a hope in Jesus, your story can change somebody's life. If Jesus has done anything for you, you have a story to tell. You might say, well, maybe that, but I could probably never give a Bible study or study with somebody. Well, you're in luck, because coming up in a couple weeks, I believe it's January 13 and 14, we are going to have a special weekend here at the Franktown Church where Danny, our Bible worker, is going to be doing some training on this. How to give your personal testimony. How to give a Bible study. And if you've always wondered how that works or if you've never done that before, you're going to get a chance to learn. And it's really not that hard at all. Sometimes it just takes sitting down and learning how to do something like that. And January 13 and 14, we all will have the chance to learn a little bit on how to do that, how to share your faith with somebody. Because if we have an experience with Jesus, we can do the same thing that these shepherds did. We can spread our faith, our love for Jesus, as widely as they did. It finishes up here, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard as it was told to them. I think our challenge today is to be like these shepherds, to seek Jesus, to be willing to set stuff aside for a while and focus on where Jesus is and what he wants from us and following him. And part two of that, the challenge for us is also to spread the good news and the hope that we have in our hearts with other people who may not have that same hope. And you might say, well, we're out in Franktown or Parker or Castle Rock or Highlands Ranch or Elizabeth. You know, there's lots of churches. God doesn't need me for this. There's plenty of other people. My friends, if you just look around your circle of influence, your friends, the people you work with, there are people hurting and going through some really, really tough times that really could use some hope, encouragement, some purpose in their lives. That's where you come in. Just like those shepherds. There were people that needed to hear about Jesus then, and those shepherds were willing to share. There are people that need to hear about Jesus today. We can be those modern shepherds and do the same exact thing that they did all those years ago, 2,000 years ago. There's a song we're going to sing as we close. It's number 121, and it's a song about these shepherds, and it's Go Tell It on the Mountain. And this is kind of our challenge for 2017 as we look ahead. It says, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching or silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out an angel chorus that hailed our Savior's birth. Verse 3, down in a lowly manger the humble Christ was born and brought us God's salvation, that blessed Christmas morn. There is a lot of good news in the Christmas message of Jesus coming the first time. And there's a lot of good news in the message of Jesus coming the second time that can give us hope, that can help us make it through today and this week because we know there is something better coming. And as we stand and sing this song, may this be sort of your challenge for 2017, to go and to share your faith with somebody else. I mentioned this several months ago as a challenge. Your 2017 challenge to bring one person to church with you this next year. One person. As your way of chipping into this shepherd effort and telling people about Jesus. Let's stand as we sing, Go Tell It on the Mountain. All right, there we go. Tonight we are having our annual Christmas party at 5 p.m., and everyone here is invited. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. We have a really fun pie auction that's going to be having to help raise funds for our kids going to Mile High Academy, and I've already been hearing about some of the pies that have been made, and you are not going to want to miss bidding on some of these pies for a very good cause. Lots of really interesting pie combinations. There's one pie here that I may be bidding on because it was made by Miss Callie. She made a sweet potato pie, which was one of my favorites. So there may be some competition because I'm going to be... Can the auctioneer bid on pies? I don't know. We'll see tonight. But hopefully we'll see you there tonight. I'm not much of a weatherman, as you can see from my phone call last night. I said it was going to be flurries, and it's a little bit more than flurries, but I think it's supposed to get better. But don't count on my weatherman skills. Check everything on your phone or online. But I hope you can make it tonight. It's going to be a whole lot of fun, and it's always great getting together with church family. Again, that's at 5 o'clock tonight. Looking back at the song that we heard the choir sing, I love the ending of that, and then we'll worship God. And as we finish our worship service today, keep that in the forefront of your mind. What'll it be like to worship God together with a choir that sounds maybe 25 times better than this one even that was up on the screen? What will that moment be like? I can remember driving, I was listening to this song all week long in my car, and I had it cranked nice and loud, and when it gets to that verse, it's just really moving, I think. You think about all the words that go into joy to the world, and then you get to that one part where it's almost the conclusion of everything, and then we'll worship God, and we'll be with him together in heaven. And that's our ultimate goal. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, Lord, this Christmas season, we are so thankful for you coming that first time and what it means for our own salvation. We're thankful for your sacrifice, God, and more than anything, this cold morning, we're looking forward to worshiping with you together someday and being a part of an angel choir and being able to look you right in the face and say thank you for everything you've done for us. We are so looking forward to that this morning, God, and we're glad that today we're one day closer. In Jesus' name we pray.